What else do you think facilitates the vibe of an inviting sexual space and play space?
Beds, definitely beds.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%.
Yes.
Welcome to another episode of Girls Gone Deep. In this episode, V and I had a very special guest on. His name is Daniel Saint. He is a bisexual influencer and has a really diverse background working in things like the fashion industry. He was a marketing director. He founded a talent management company for influencers. He also has his hands in the cannabis industry. But in today's conversation, we really focus on his role as founder and chief conspirator of NSFW, which stands for the New Society for Wellness. If you've listened to our show, you know that we talk about NSFW. They have a sex club that we frequent a lot and love so much. So we're so excited to have him on. You know, NSFW's mission is really focused on destigmatizing sex clubs and really cultivating a sex positive community and just finding your people. So in today's conversation, you'll learn it's more than just a sex club. It's actually a community that goes deep on so many levels of connection. So in this show, we get into what makes NSFW different from other sex spaces, how they host workshops around sex education, communication, and really just how they create a safe space for all genders and all sexual orientations to feel welcomed and explore their sexy sides. So we hope you enjoy.
Actually, can I say, listening to the different podcast episodes, one of my favorites was the two bi guys chat that you had about fluidity. It was such a great episode. So I'm really interested in speaking to you about, you know, your bisexuality and bisexuality in the space. Because actually, we just had Zachary Zane on recently.
Beautiful.
And his interview was just so beautiful. I don't know if you've read his book, Boy Slut, but have you read it or you're familiar with it?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it. Yeah, I've read a whole bunch of, I get his newsletter. So yeah, his stories are wild.
So do you have wild stories like that too?
Oh God, like that's all I have. It's such a problem. No. Oh my God. Yeah. There's a lot.
I'm like so curious about this, you know, heteroflexible male, bisexual men and gay men space, because this is a space that my husband and I have been getting into, and he's considered heteroflexible. He's not bi, but we do enjoy all of these experiences, but we do find that there's a lot of segregation. There's still some taboo around it in the lifestyle.
100%.
And then you also have, I know from like listening to other things that there's some limitations and different, I guess I'll call them expectations with the bi male community versus the gay community. And I'm wondering if you can kind of go into, so let's start off. You identify as bi male. Can you go into like what that's like being a bi male in New York City and what your experiences have been like?
I mean, I think I'm blessed to be in New York City because there are so many options in terms of like straight experiences and, you know, just gay experiences or male-male experiences. So I think I'm just blessed from being born in the city for the most part. Because there is a lot. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to explore and a lot to enjoy. For me, myself, it just feels, I don't know, I came out as bisexual later in life. It was until I was 30. I always had like a certain level of attraction to like men in a certain way, but I never really kind of got into it or accepted it for my own identity for a long time. When I finally did, I just realized there was like no real big bisexual men in like fashion industry, which I was in at the time. And I just wanted to like really present and be really proud of it and be excited about it. It's an amazing community of people. It's definitely a complicated one. There's a lot of different definitions for how people identify within this space, and you know, from homoflexible to heteroflexible to like fluid and all these other terms. But bisexual just seems to make the most sense for me.
Yeah. And that's a good question too, because I've always wondered, what does fluid mean in this space? Like, what's your experience? Just anything goes? So that almost feels like pansexual, like everything's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they all mean the same thing in a lot of ways. Like, you know, pansexual came out as a term as more trans people were presenting in sexual spaces and queer spaces, as we developed this kind of like new queer identity, which has become very, very popular. So pansexual came about as a term for that, but bisexual has always meant, you know, my sex and others. You know, it's really not so specific. Like there is, you know, in general, two kind of genders that are out there, how people identify internally, or two sexes out there. So how people identify internally versus gender is kind of up to them. But bisexual was always the all-inclusive term that was out there for it. And I think women, you know, were able to be a little bit more comfortable with that term earlier, and now men are becoming a little bit more comfortable with it. So I think that's why we have so many of these, you know, alternate ways of identifying. Because, being bi or bi male takes on a lot of responsibility in a lot of ways. And being fluid, it gives you a little bit more of an option in terms of just, you know, it's go with the flow or whatever mama provides, you know, like whatever the world provides. That's, you know, possibly what I'm going to be into. So I think it means different things for different people. But bisexual for me personally, and for a lot of people, it just kind of encompasses all.
Well, and you just touched on something there too. I think it has been historically kind of easier, quote unquote, for women to be bi in these spaces because it's so hot.
Yeah, right? Hot.
It's like stigmatized.
Yeah, so hot.
It's stigmatized to everyone, right? But I don't know. I just think what I love about NSFW, your sex community that you've created, is that it really does feel like it's inclusive of whatever the fuck anyone wants to do, however anyone wants to play and present. It's awesome. Like, I've gone with my gay friends there on there are different nights, and we'll get into this in a moment because I know we're jumping ahead of ourselves here, but there are different nights, and I know there are some that are geared more towards like gays, and there are some that are geared more towards just couples, etc. I've gone on, I don't even know what night it was because I just love all the nights. And like, I brought my gay friends and they were playing right alongside like me, my male partner, and our girlfriend. And, you know, like it, and it all is cool. And I love spaces like that, and that you've been able to create that with NSFW. So I guess my question is, tell us a little bit about how NSFW came about.
Like, what's the name of it? Yeah, what does it stand for? What is it? So we can share with our listeners.
Yeah.
We talk about it all the time, by the way, because okay. We love it.
This is not a new concept. Unless you're tuning in for the first time, you're like, oh, yeah, finally. You have this sex club on.
That's
that you
beautiful.
Talk about.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, the NSFW stands for the New Society for Wellness. You know, initially it started off as, you know, me wanting to have a place where I felt comfortable. You know, being bisexual, again, you have the benefit of going to gay spaces or straight spaces and kind of assimilating in, you know, the best way that fits for each one. But there's never that comfortable combination of the two. I found that I wanted to create a space that was that, you know, it could be like a gay bar or anything else like that. It had to be specific to that. And I think with that, you know, and just helping people understand, you know, bisexual men is its own category. It's like only until recently that they decided that it actually is true, like our bisexual men through studies. It's like this mental study, which was like the silliest one I've seen, because it's like obviously bisexual men are true. But they did a
there
study.
There needed to be a study to make it a real thing.
There needed to be a study. There needed to be an actual study to make it a real thing.
Yeah.
But basically, I want to create space that was both, you know. I think there was like a lot of things that I've had in past relationships where I want to share experiences with someone, and there isn't a place to do that. You know, there's not a place where I can be like, oh, let's have, you know, a MMF threesome and like, let's have fun tonight. You know, there wasn't spaces for that.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of it, I think there needed to be more education. Again, just like the lack of education people have around, you know, gender or sexuality or so many other things that are important in building relationships with people and being more open and enjoying more experiences sexually. Those things are important. And I wanted a place where we could teach that and we can provide that education to people and learn ourselves. So initially it was just me and a bunch of friends. And we did it that way for like a year, just like really testing out all these different types of random classes and finding educators to come and getting dominatrixes who'd never taught to be like, hey, teach us how to beat each other. You know,
like,
it's just
like in your apartment. Like
Yeah. It was like, yeah, in a pretty small apartment compared to like new spaces. But like, yeah, it was that for a while. And then after like a year and a half, 2 years, it was just like, let's see what happens if we open it up and let other people in. And it became less about just like that group of friends, and it became like a much bigger thing. And now it's like growing even more. But I think that initial feeling of like going to these straight spaces and seeing in a way like how women were used as kind of like merchandise or almost that way. Like there was a lot of transactional trading type stuff and a lot of lack of consent, and going to all male spaces where there's like, you know, very, very little consent whatsoever. Like you're kind of like giving up consent as you walk in and be like, okay, you know, I might have a finger in my ass and not even realize who it is. Like the levels of what can happen in certain spaces, especially like dark rooms and stuff like that. You are consciously deciding to like be non-consensual.
So you're saying in all of these spaces, in the gay space and also in a bi male party, that kind of like when you walk in, anything goes, and you basically have to be comfortable with using your no. Otherwise, it's assumed it's
a yes. I would say like everything. If you're in all gay spaces, like it's definitely evolved. But I think at that time, like we've been doing this now for like 9 years, so like almost 10 years ago, the way it was. Consent wasn't really something that was really considered. It was just, it was very nonverbal. And I mean, it wasn't necessarily a bad thing. Like you're having a good time. It's just, you have to like conscientiously decide for yourself, like, okay, I'm going into this space and I'm going into this experience. And I think for me, you know, being hidden about my sexuality and sneaking into those spaces when I could and like having those experiences, it was very, very scary. And also like, exciting, you know, like it was like this strange balance of things. And it's just kind of how you evolve as like a gay male sometimes, where you have these non-consensual things that happen regularly. Mm. And it's just kind of like part of the culture.
Interesting.
And it's part of all culture, really. Like it's happens to women as well. But it's like when you're in those all male spaces, it's like it doesn't change, you know. So I think there was a lot of elements of that I saw, and I wanted to create a space where like I could bring a woman. It's like you can't bring a woman into those spaces. You can't, you know, have this type of experiences and share them with someone, because like, you know, we're on different planes of
so
like
your
what
options
can actually
are
work.
Only men, or these like swinger spaces where you're kind of looked at weird if you do try to play with a dude.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Yeah. Or if you come alone, even. Yeah.
I mean, I was just trying to put myself in the situation where I walk into a party and like there's no consent and anybody can touch and do what they want. And I just can't. I would not enjoy that. Like, V, you're shaking your head no right now. Like,
oh my God.
Oh my God. Like,
I mean, one of the things that I love most about these communities is, it's so funny. When I first started, I went to like my first sex party 3 years ago here in the city. It was not NSFW, but another well-known one. And my friends were like, oh my God, like, weren't you scared? Like you're just wearing lingerie, da da da. And I was like, I have been way more disrespected at, you know, frat parties in college or, you know, at any random bar than I am at a sex club or a sex party or event, because mm-hmm. it's so consent based. And it was my first experience having someone be like, hey, can I touch you? Can I hug you? Mm. Asking for that consent. And I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you for asking. Yes, you may hug me.
To that point, it's even to like the next level where I almost feel like there's so much consent, and that sometimes it's the men are not even initiating as often as maybe they want to or would like to. It's actually women who lead some of these sexual experiences and conversations, because men are so respectful. They don't want to cross a boundary. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely elements of that happen, but it's about, you know, teaching the people, you know, how to actually engage in those conversations and how to be ready, how to use your nose, which I think is really important for people, because it's not natural for everyone to like set your own boundaries and to, you know, understand your autonomy, because a lot of people don't even understand their own personal autonomy, so it's harder for them to accept others. And I think it's really teaching people about that. We do this class called Sudden Noobs. We encourage like all the new members to come. But it's also just training people within the membership on how to watch for behaviors and pay attention to the membership. And like when you're at parties, like how to obviously behave, but how to expect others to behave. Mm. And that's kind of what helps within our spaces to like make it feel safe for people and be those elements where you can like be completely naked and you know nothing's going to happen to you. You're at the bar and like no one's going to touch you. And like you have a place to also go to if something bad happens, where it's like, okay, how do we get this person out of here? How do we move this person with the membership? How do we essentially warn other people if needed? So it's a different level of like protection than from a traditional bar. That's why a lot of people come and they're like, I feel safer here than going to like a nightclub or going
to
dance.
And two questions there. Sorry. Can you tell us specifically like what you would say to someone how you coach your members to use their no? Like, can you give us an actual kind of takeaway there?
I mean, I think that through the classes that we do, through that Sunday's class, we talk about all these different elements as to, one, you know, rejection and how to handle rejection, how to give rejection. That becomes a big element as well.
It's an art. You know, it's,
yeah, it's definitely an art. And obviously you're in a situation of like, you want to de-escalate or you want to like bring, you know, the tension down, right? This is someone who's like attracted to you or whatever it is, or thinks there's something where there's not, or is possibly being rude or weird or like saying things in a certain way. Like, you want to diffuse and you want to get out of that situation. So like, it is really a matter of, one, you know, responding kindly. You don't have to like destroy someone when you're rejecting them. That's something where that can happen and people feel like a little bit more like, you know, ill, you know, so like, mm-hmm. we don't want that to happen. So there's that element. And it's also like, you know, setting like boundaries for yourself and saying like, okay, you know, I don't really want to engage with too many people tonight. So I'm going to set out to like find the person I want to talk to and like take a more of an initiative so that you're not kind of in a situation where like people feel they need to approach you if you don't really want that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's part of, one, the rejection, accepting rejection well and taking rejection well. On the men's side, it's like accepting that rejection and just like moving on, not pursuing, not continuing to like ask, not like really being like tedious in terms of like, you know, trying to convince her maybe later or something else. Like,
a no is a no, and that's what it means. A no is a no, and a no is a full statement.
Like, there really doesn't have to be any explanation. So
yeah,
I think teaching the members that and being aware of that is important. You know, it comes to digital and how people communicate on there as well and how they engage with people within there, because we are a private community. We try to keep the membership privacy, you know, safe as much as possible, but people might find someone on a social media profile and feel like they're entitled to contact them there. And it's like, that's not behaviors that we allow or can accept within the community, because it makes people uncomfortable and it's overstepping that boundary. It's like, having respect for the space is key. Having respect for the community is the most important thing. And it really comes down to just people understanding that there are, you know, rewards and there are, you know, risks to, you know, not doing these things. And, you know, one of those risks is not being here anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Not in like a mafia sort of way, but like.
In like a mean like girl's like way. Like, you can't over, sit yeah. with us.
You can't sit with us. You have to be mean girl sometimes. Totally.
So you created this space, and yes, I do feel like it's very consent-driven, and it starts right when you walk through the door. So I live here in New York. Elle does not live in New York, and when me and my partner Jay, whenever we have friends in the lifestyle, like in town, we're always like, okay, we need to work NSFW into our weekend. So she's been a number of times. Mm-hmm. And we just brought like a group of 20 back in December to the Brooklyn space, which is no more.
Oh my goodness.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But so basically, it starts when you walk in the door, your nymphs will kind of like take everyone through like what consent means and no means no, et cetera. There's like a little speech that happens. They'll show you the space if you've never been there before. Mm-hmm. And so it creates a really nice environment. So can you tell us a little bit about what you think makes a good environment for a sex club? And sorry, let me also say that NSFW is special in the way that it is not just a once a month event, like a pop-up party, which is what a lot of sex clubs and sex events and communities are. This is like, you guys have events, what, 2-3 times a week, right?
Yeah, we get busy.
So if you're a member and you live in town, like, you can literally just stop by at the end of your night if you want to. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh my God, like, it can be that. It can be, oh my God, it's the NSFW night. Or it's like, you know, it's just
it can be
nice
more casual, yeah.
Night.
Well,
casual,
I think you're creating this community of people where it's more than just sex. It's about connection and intimacy in different ways, and then also creating this extra space where sex can happen. And I love what you guys have created around this whole community as well as the consent that you guys do, because I've always learned so much from every consent speech. Like, I love that you do it at every entrance. And I've been to multiple sex clubs around the United States, and not that many, but enough that they don't do that. They don't have that consent speech. And you guys do it no matter what, even though maybe they come three times a week, you're probably still giving that speech, which I appreciate, which creates a lot of safety and fun. So you had a question, B, that you were going into.
Right. So what else do you think facilitates the vibe of an inviting sexual space and play space?
Beds, definitely beds.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
To create an inviting space, I think there is a lot of elements that we put into it. You know, I really want NSFW to feel like it's just a hidden away gem. It's like a special space. So each of the spaces we've had, all clubhouses have had very specific, you know, looks and feels. We've had a townhouse. We had an escape the room that was like phenomenal and really fun for a while. At this, you know, great big Soho space, Brooklyn space, and now two other spaces that are coming out in New York.
It's always been about... I'm so excited. I'm on 13th Street.
And come see it. I'm going to be there tomorrow. Come tomorrow. You can like walk through. It's like 12th and 1st.
Okay. Cool. Sneak peek, baby.
We have these spaces, but the idea is like you want to create it where it's comfortable. It has to be like really, really comfy spaces for people to come together. There's games within the space. You know, we have game nights that we host. We do erotic sketching within the space, so there's like art elements to it. You know, all the art you see on the walls are all produced by members. So it's like people contributing and artists within the community contributing to it. So you kind of create a space that's like this shared space. You know, people can see their work there, or they can, you know, host an event there. They can bring their friends there, host their own little party. Like, it's really open to be a community center, really. Like, it's just exactly what a community center would be. So, you know, we created that as, you know, just about comfort, really. Just about like really reducing people's feelings as to like what the experience is. Because again, as I was going to like different spaces, like, there was no like really, really nice spaces. It was really kind of more designed to like be easy cleanup, which makes sense. You just have like a lot of whole bunch of random people coming through, and there was no community spaces to like actually meet people that you're at those spaces with. So you're just walking into like beds and like it's strictly sex. But by creating kind of these, you know, different areas, like within Soho, you have these different areas you walked into, you create more of that homey feel. And I think that's what the community really appreciates. You know, there's a library of books that we've collected over the years, and we're adding more to it. There's, you know, different art that, again, all over the space. There's a lot of like BDSM architecture and other stuff that's put into it. I think it's a lot about
sound.
The lighting is key.
Lighting is key.
And music's important. Like all those things like kind of come together to like create that experience. And it's definitely planned. Like it's like literally every single thing is like kind of plotted out and planned so that whoever's managing it can like create it again.
I'll also say the bathrooms, like the bathroom in the Soho Clubhouse, which is now defunct, like you're not there anymore. It's going to be a new space, but the bathrooms are so important in a sex club.
And showers. You guys have showers there too.
Showers.
Which I was so
surprised. That shower. One time I came from a full day of work and I had to come straight there and I was like, I just don't feel sexy. And like one of the nymphs was like, use the shower. And I was like, I can do that. And I did. And it was so fun. And it's like right next to the bathroom. And so like people were coming in and out of the bathroom. And I was like, hi, how's it going? Making new friends. And it was perfect. So it does feel like a community center. And it feels so inviting. And, you know, all the chairs and like every surface just feels very soft and sexy. So like the darker aesthetic.
It's inviting. Take your clothes off. It's flirty. I like it. I really like the Soho space really nicely because it was lower ceilings, smaller confined areas. So you were more likely to bump into somebody. Oh, hey, oh, excuse me. Oh, hey, what's your name? Right. And conversation would just facilitate. So I love that coziness that you were able to create in that particular location.
Yeah, that worked out really well.
Yeah, so
and I'm sure it will be achieved in future places.
Yeah, I hope so. Well, no, it will.
Well, let's talk about.
Be like our, We're in our new clubhouses, so.
Yeah, like talk about where you're going. I guess, like, where are the new spaces being opened up currently, and what do you envision those spaces to look like and the features that are going to be available for members?
So the new space that we are working on right now is East Village, or EB, East V. That space is going to have a little bit more of a lounge feel. So you walk in, we're creating a little NSFW shop speakeasy, where you'll be able to check in with the front person there. There'll be phone checks, and really we're pushing phone checks a lot more, just getting people off their phones, giving them opportunity to actually connect and meet people. You'll walk through a long kind of curtained hallway that's curtained all the way down. And there's 5 individual like banquets that you can book out to have like a little bit more of an intimate experience, and you know, just have like small group of 4 like friends and stuff like that. Mm. Head further down, there's 2 bathrooms in the space. We're building out like a full bar and then a central kind of seating area for about like 16. And then around the space, we're putting like additional like banquet seatings and stuff like that. But there'll be like BDSM gear through the first floor, so you can do stuff like that. And then on the second floor is where all the beds are and all the, you know, playful areas are. We just got a whole bunch of lighting that I really, really love that is just all like gold leaves, like just like tons of like beautiful antique, like gold leaves pieces that we got for it. So there'll be like a red and gold and black theme, which is like common for NSFW spaces. Mm-hmm. Then for the downstairs, we might have like a little private jail cell type setup. Which will be like kind of this VIP jail cell that you can have. Mm. I think it's just funny for people who have money to like be in jail.
Play out your and fantasies.
That's their VIP experience. Like, enjoy prison. So that's going to be fun. And then there will be like a stripper pole in the main room. It's fairly big. I think like I like the idea of making it more lounge feeling so that people feel like it could just be a spot to go grab a drink. And then if you want to fuck, go downstairs, go fuck, have fun. There's plenty of room for that. And there's plenty of spaces for that. If you want to go into like the more dungeon areas, just go downstairs for that. But I like the idea of like upstairs, kind of this lounge feel. And then like, if you're feeling crispy, then
Something that we talk about a lot on this show. We talk about how the separation of like the party space and the play space, like you have to have a kind of like a reverence for the play space. And I think that NSFW, the clubhouse in Soho, really achieved that by just having those curtains. And you know, during that initial speech, as soon as you walk in, it's like, hey, you can have your phone out before the curtains. Mm-hmm. After the curtains, you cannot have your phone out. And I will say, I have been there many, many times, and I don't think I've ever seen that violated. And that's a testament to like just people really respecting the space. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, it definitely gets violated sometimes, and we have to go get them.
I'm sure. But I personally have only had good experiences with that, and like I haven't noticed people being disrespectful, which is
mostly 90%, 95% respectful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that separation, I think, is really key. And I think that it really facilitates, like, you know, getting to know, making connections, and then going into the play area and having your sexy scene. We also like to say, if you're going to be talking in a play space, it better be dirty talk. Yeah. We've had too many like situations at like our own private play parties where people are just talking and we're like, shut the fuck up, guys. I'm trying to give head here. Like, yeah, you can't, like
you're killing the vibe. Yeah.
What are you even talking about?
I don't want to hear about your traffic issue, like whatever it is. I'm like, what the fuck?
Exactly. Yeah. So to that point, when you're at the club, are you able to enjoy yourself?
Are you a celebrity that everybody wants to kind of jump on now?
Once they were cheering, I had to stop. I think, look, it's changed a lot for me in terms of like what I get out of this experience and doing this and being part of, you know, NSFW and trying to like push it forward. I think there's a respectability. Like, I don't really play at the clubhouse very often. If I do play, I'm like hidden away somewhere, hiding, like being quiet with my play. Sometimes. I mean, All Saints Day is coming up. I'm definitely playing there. It's like my birthday.
Nice.
Like, almost a requirement. Like, I cannot play.
Yeah.
Now, what about your employees, like the nymphs that work? Are they allowed to, I mean, obviously they have to work, but, yeah. You know, do you find that it's hard? Like they have limitations so that they can't be playing with other people certain times?
Yeah. I mean, if they're on shift, they shouldn't be playing. They do get 15-minute breaks if they want to do a quick little play. So like during the event, they can be like, can I have a 15? And then they are allowed to like jump away for a little bit and have their smoking break, I guess.
Smoking break, fucking break,
you know. Yeah,
whatever, maybe.
It's like, we want to encourage that.
But they are able to like come back and use the space as.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They end up getting their own membership. They can come whenever they want and they can bring guests and stuff like that. So yeah, they're welcome. It's their space too.
Yeah, because we go to, you know, lifestyle resorts and stuff. Have you ever been to like Hedonism in Jamaica?
Yeah.
Wild. We're big fans. But, you know, there, the entertainment staff, they are not allowed to play with the clientele. And, you know, I didn't know if you had the same kind of rules and regulations at NSFW.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we host so often. It's just like, and most of everyone who works for us is a member. So it's like they've joined before they started working with us.
That's what it feels like. It just feels like when you walk in, I've seen those nymphs so many times that it just feels like you're walking into the same, you know, like home.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just a testament that people are like, I love this vibe. I love this energy. I want to help out and I want to contribute. And so I'm going to work here. And I have to say, like when I came to NSFW for the first time and I had such an amazing experience. And like I said, I've been to other sex clubs that there's a vibe within NSFW and the community that you've created. And I really believe in the law of attraction, but everybody is young, attractive, successful. They're well-groomed. They look, you know, they take care of themselves. Where there's some other sex clubs that I've been to where, you know, they don't take care of themselves. They look like they just rolled out of bed in some situations. And you're just like, what's going on? You know, you're here to impress and connect with people. Like,
I'm so happy
I don't have to go to other places anymore.
Well,
there's good ones out there, though.
Yeah. I want to say about that is that you have an all black dress code. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah.
Where did that come from and why?
I think like I had just come out of the fashion industry and had just been so inundated with like labels and logos and certain things. I wanted to create a space that was truly inclusive. It wasn't about the price or how much money you have. I think it's really about the connections you form with people within it. And I wanted to have wealth be less present within the space just because I was personally so tired of it. So the dress code came out to be black. I mean, it's also stylish. It's New York City.
Yeah.
Like it's just naturally people look good in black. You can wear whatever underwear you want. You don't have to wear black underwear. Some people think it's like, do the underwear.
Hold on a second. Always thought that my underwear had to be black too.
No, just underwear design to be black.
God. Just the R. Well, this is good to know. V, it's your favorite color anyway. So
yeah, I'm not even going to take that to heart because. So to your point, I think that it is like everyone looks so attractive because number one, black is fucking hot.
Yeah,
and everyone's almost in their like NSFW uniform. And when you go to these other events, like, you know, it's all themed and everyone's in these like, you know, just ridiculous costumes. And sometimes that can be hot, but like,
yeah.
At NSFW, I know that I can go in there and like people are just going to be dressed straight up sexy. It's not like themed costumey. It's like,
I appreciate it. It does have an elegance to it and it puts everybody on the same erotic kind of energy. And to your point where you said like black, like not having people identify with wealth, I think it's just nature in us that when we see people, the way that they dress, the look and what they drive, that we start to pass judgment because of what our society has built into us. And one of the things I appreciate about like hedonism to like layer into that is that when you go to hedonism, everybody's naked. And so all you really do is focus here on the face and like you have to pay attention to who they are and what's inside their heart and their head and their personality. So I love that you, I guess, level the playing field out almost the way that hedonism does it with nudism, with what you do with the black dress code.
Yeah.
Totally.
So another thing that is a big part of the NSFW ethos is cannabis. So I'd love to talk to you about your own journey with cannabis and sex and how they interact.
Yeah. Well, I think on the wellness side, we've always had this focus on plant medicines. Like even early on when we started NSFW, we were doing things with like kava and kratom and mushrooms and things like that. And we've always kind of had this very, you know, bigger focus on that as a way to feel more sexual, feel more comfortable, feel more social, and, you know, help people kind of find happiness within their experiences in life. And a lot of these things can do that. But sex and cannabis in particular, I mean, I think it's just, I don't know, it's always been a good combination for me. It's always made me feel good, made me feel horny. I know there's certain strains that are like better for that and help increase libido. Mm-hmm. And this
which
is
ones? I need those.
Like which ones get me horny? Actually, we have this great partnership with Eden Cannabis where we have our NSFW weeds. Oh. We made three strains of NSFW weed and it's mixed with either lavender or Damiana or cacao. Mm. And it's designed for like before sex, during sex, and then after sex.
Oh, I love so
like
this.
I love
path.
This.
Wait,
too.
Is this accessible to public or members only?
Yeah, you can actually order it anywhere and it can ship to you. I can give you the link if you need
it. Yeah, yeah, we'll put it in the show notes so people can access this because I love the lavender and cacao, the heart opening, and all of that has different effects on the body. That's
exactly.
Awesome.
Exactly. Tamiana in particular is great for libido and just increasing like sexual energy, but it also just brings more blood flow to your vagina or groin.
See, this is fascinating to me because we've talked about this. We had an episode specifically on sex and weed, and I get in my fucking head.
Like some people get anxious. Yeah.
I would say like you know, people have different impacts. Like there are certain people who are a little bit more sensitive to it. We used to use strains with like less THC in it and test those out. Ones that are not as powerful. And if you go to like a proper like you know, weed store, they usually can show you which ones have less. And that's a good way to test it out. Or you can try it with something else, so either an edible or something, or oil even. Mm. Even cannabis oil used as a topical has like really good effects. Very light, like mellow weed effects.
Rub it into your wrists exactly. Or something? Or
yeah.
Like,
or like add, yeah, even add some into your salad, like put it into your smoothie. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I agree with you. Like I feel like the high THC ones are the one that give me anxiety because it's so high in THC and not balanced with, say, the CBD or maybe the other compounds which provide the anti-anxiety effects and relaxation and sleep. And so, like, would you recommend actually to, like, taking a CBD supplement while you're smoking marijuana to kind of balance out the THC to CBD? Have you thought about that?
I mean, you're still going to have the same amount of THC inside your body. Like,
that's true.
You can't really, like, beat it with more CBD. It doesn't work in that way. You just have a lot more CBD in your body. So I would say like, it's better to like, again, if you're having something with like a high amount of THC, you know, just do less of it, you know, just have like a little puff. You don't have to go like full on into it and then keep smoking. Like you're going to feel the effects really hard, especially if you're paranoid or you have stress on that side of things.
Yeah.
But also like indicas are usually better for non-paranoia. You know, sativas or hybrids will have a little bit more effect. But I think the most interesting thing about cannabis in particular is like, it's changed so much. Like now that it's become more accepted, they've increased the strength by so much more. We're not dealing with, you know, the cannabis that was used in, you know, tribal medicines. We're not dealing with like that level of cannabis anymore. We're dealing with, you know, multiple hybrid strains of things to get it more and more and more, more powerful. Mm-hmm. So just consider that, you know, as you're out there in the market, like there are lighter strains you can go for. There are lighter products that might not have those effects rather than just completely giving up on the plant.
Okay, next time when NSFW East Village opens up, I'm going to come and I'm going to be like, all right, guys, what do I need? I get in my head, give me the teeniest bit of whatever. Because I do have good sex and I do feel that feeling in my body. And so like, I want to. And every time I'm there and I'm like breathing it in, it smells so good. But I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it because I'm going to be fucking weird V.
Well, the big thing we're pushing for ESP is like, it's going to be our first like non-alcoholic space. Mm. So we are going to be creating a whole bunch of elixirs and tinctures and potions and things that will have.
Wait, it's not even going to be BYO?
You can still BYOB. Yeah. You can still set up a table for you for that. Like we'll still allow that. But like in our direct bar, like just what we sell won't be that. There'll be options for like the table service thing as well, which you can get a drink with that or like a bottle with that. But within our own space of the cocktails and stuff, we're just changing it up a little bit. And we're doing like quarter doses for a lot of stuff. So you can have more than one, but it will have like either mellowing effects or libido enhancing effects or just energy effects. There's a lot of options for that. So we're playing with that with this new one. It's a way for us to open these spaces because we'll never be able to get a liquor license. So we're just there will never be an option for that. We can do a bar and maybe have an upstairs thing, and we're considering that for future spots. But for right now, the individual clubhouses, we want to create a really cool experience and still have a bar.
Yeah, I love that you're doing that because, I mean, I appreciate less alcohol use for the pure reason of having full presence, safety, and full consent. And I have seen people, just not be coherent enough to make a decision. And that's uncomfortable and it's a turn off.
And it's not sexy.
Yeah, it's a turn off. No. So I appreciate that you're really embodying that new society for wellness, right? Bringing in these herbs.
That's the big push right now of here's what we want to do and here's what we are about and this is how we want to present this and get this membership. Because even in New York, there's no spots where you can get that anyway.
Yeah.
And there's just a growing and growing group of people who are just non-alcoholics. They're just not drinkers. Mm-hmm. And so we want to create a better space for them to experience that. Still catering to members who want to have a drink, but really focused in on this as our key element.
Yeah.
That really excites me because I'm newly sober this year. I'm a little shy of a year. And so you were it's our first non-alcoholic space. I'm this is cool. Yeah.
It's 2 blocks away from you. Look at that.
I know, exactly. I'll see you every night, Daniel.
Yeah, I feel like she's going to become this pothead and loving her herbs.
Can you imagine? Oh my God. The new place that we'll be producing Girls Gone Deep from.
Yeah.
Because
we'll have that for daytime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So for the spaces outside of what we do in the evenings, we have workshops during the midday or afternoon. And then during the day, members can come in and use the space for shoots, for production, for podcasts, for all those types of things. Mm-hmm. We have a number of members who own adult studios who already produce within the space. So that's been really good. We're just increasing that, just adding more options for that. For the Brooklyn space, we're testing out this concept of having a speaker series at 4 o'clock. So we'd have in-depth interviews with people that would be filmed and then, sent to the membership. Mm. But also you can come in and just after work, head out of work early and come to the clubhouse type thing. So we're trying to increase the hours it's available and open to the membership just to give people more things to do and more options on that.
Yeah.
People just want to have sex at night. They want to have sex all the time.
Well, don't we all? And that's for me, so I was married in the past in a monogamous relationship and I discovered this lifestyle afterwards and I've just had such a sexual awakening. And when you're around like-minded people like this and in sexy spaces like this, it just makes sex so much more exciting. And, you experience so much personal growth when you can approach sex in this way and meet such interesting people who know about so many different things, from tantra to shibari to impact play to, So
yeah,
that's really, really exciting.
It makes it more interesting. Definitely makes things more interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, on that note, what are some of your personal interests, may I ask? Sorry, I'm going off left field.
I don't know. I like a couple different things. I think I definitely have I have two DOMs that I work with. So I definitely enjoy submissive type things and have great little sessions. I love planning my friends' gangbangs. That's a big one for me where it's okay, we're going to cast everyone for it. Or we're going to set up a little show. Mm-hmm. I had one friend who's British, who we did this whole queen ceremony for her birthday. So it was just all her queen servants. And she was present your staffs. And it was just this cute little
present moment. Your staffs.
I love things like that. I don't know. We do a lot of shoots now that are becoming really creative. We're working on something for the Horny Hearts Ball. We're about to announce our three performers. We normally do the muse performances and stuff like that. This is going to be full on placing, complete penetration and coming and everything else within the scene. So experience it.
I went last year. I don't have tickets this year. Yeah. I need to go.
I'll send it over to you for sure. You should definitely be there.
That's going to be a fun little one. I'll go down the rabbit hole.
So we're doing that, which is going to be a lot of fun. I like producing. Like I really enjoy obviously producing the events that we host, and I like, you know, doing this work, but I like producing like fantasies for people and helping people like figure out what that is and create the scenarios for it. And like, just, yeah, I enjoy that a lot. That's like my hobby, I think.
so
good hobby to have.
do you have any like crazy, wild, interesting stories that have ever happened at any of the club events that you can share with us? Like anything that?
I mean, I think it's always just been like a matter of beautiful scenes. We did have something crazy happen once where, like, when we first moved into this building, there was someone else upstairs doing parties, and apparently this person had pissed off like one of the big people doing parties in the city, like really, really pissed him off. So we came thinking he was at this guy's house, but he was at NSFW.
Oh my God.
And like rushed through the door. The nurse were like, what's going on? We had like all these, like these four men, like randomly in the middle of our play party, everyone's wearing black. All the members are just looking at them. They're like, this is going to be shut down right now. Like just acting like completely scary, crazy. And someone was like, oh, I think one of them had a gun type thing. You know, we were
oh my God,
who the hell are these people? And like we had Sabina Magic, who's like this amazing adult performer. Like she's phenomenal. She just goes up to these men, is like, excuse me, sir, I don't think you know where you are. And oh, she like talks to this man and like he brings him down. And then I guess they realize like, oh, this isn't the party we're supposed to be at. Like, or, like they look around and they're like, wait a minute, there's just a whole bunch of people in here. And I'm like, in the room we have like lawyers and we have cops and we have like fucking like we had someone else there that night, but it's just like we just have like this type of people, so everyone's just like kind of like reactionary, like what's going on, and then immediately like this porn star goes up to him and he's just like, excuse me, sir, I know where you are, and like just like calmed him down or like took them out. We're like, yeah, I think you have to go upstairs.
And then they storm into the party upstairs and are like, yo,
yeah. You can't believe what I just saw. Yeah.
Yeah, right. And they're like, wait a minute.
That's your answer. It's like, let's protect our people, but let the people with the guns go elsewhere.
Well, we didn't know about that part until later, honestly.
Oh my God.
That's funny. But what are some like scenes? Because I've seen some amazing scenes. So the flow of the night at an NSFW play party is typically like doors open at like 10:30. You're kind of mixing, mingling. And then around like midnight, 12:30 is when there's a show. And it usually like ushers in the sexy time. And I've seen some really great stuff. So does anything stand out to you as like major highlights?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wish
choose,
like,
but
I know it is tough to choose. I mean, we did this Oestre party, which is like the Easter celebration. And there was like this insane, like really beautiful Jesus scene with Dalen Keswick. And he was like one of our performers where he like comes out as Jesus and like there's like a Mother Mary like kind of bathing him and stuff like that. And then just goes into like full on BDSM scene of him getting like whipped and stuff. And that one was a lot of fun. And it got covered by the New York Mag, which was like hilarious because they like wrote up this whole thing for it. And it's like, it seems so normal to me at this point where it's like, that's just like another Saturday. And it's just like this insane thing where everyone's just like having a fucking religious experience watching this thing. And it's just beautiful. But yeah, when you do things like that, it's like, I personally like when like there is a lot of people all kind of connected and playing, like it feels like it's more of a group scene and like, you have like a lot of bodies and this kind of like this wild experience. And when people do that, I'm always just like, that's impressive. Or you have different people playing next to each other, but not even touching each other, but it just looks like this like pile of moving sexy bodies.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing when it's not, you know, one event for the whole month. When you go, you don't necessarily know how crowded it's going to be, if it's going to be like a really, you know, a crowded night or a more sparse night. And we've been when there have been like, you know, maybe like 20 people and like we've made, you know, very good connections with like one other couple. And then other times when we've gone and there have just been bodies all over beds. Yes. And it is like a sight to behold. And like you can't even find a spot on a bed.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, you don't know what you're going to get, but it's really, it's beautiful, the variety that you can have.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about like the different like membership options that you have available for people. And like, can you talk about that process? Is there an application and all of that?
Yeah. So we vet all the members who come into the community. Usually we're looking for people who have referrals, and that's usually the best way to get in. There's a lot of applicants. There's a lot of people who apply every single month, and sometimes just like people from all over the world applying, which is always interesting. Mm. And then once you're approved, you can select a membership. All the memberships are lifetime. So once you buy it, you don't have to buy it again. Mm. And it ranges from, you know, $300 to $3,000. $3,000 gets you like unlimited access plus special events plus, you know, sometimes you'll have a key for the clubhouse to come in at off hours and stuff like that. We have a status membership, which is at like $2,000, and that's, you know, limited access for two. You also get like 69% off of all your tickets for guests and stuff. And then our cheapest one's like $300. And it's basically like you just buy for the events that you want to come to. But yeah, it's pretty much broken down that way. We have different memberships for people who like work within the community. So the entire organization is kind of like set up as like memberships. Like the NIMS have their membership, the Muses. We have this group of people we call the 11, which is kind of like our board, and helps us like figure out the next steps for stuff. Mm-hmm. And also the core team that runs like the community. So yeah, I think it's like there's different levels to it.
Yeah, I love the variety because like, it's going to satisfy what everybody's interested in. You know, like what can you do? How much do you want to be involved? And, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, like they're all limited too. So like there's only a certain amount of each membership. Like over the next like 2 years, we want to open up 4 more houses, maybe 5 more houses. Mm. So that'll be like, you know, more members in those areas. But the goal is to pause the membership. Basically, it stops when it stops. And then if you want to sell your membership, you can. And there'll be like a marketplace for that later on. But yeah, we're kind of building out like a series of houses, a series of places, a series of locations, and then like very limited memberships that are available. So once you're in, great. And then later on, you can get rid of it if you want to.
Okay, cool.
So like I can leave my membership in my will to my children.
You can pass it on. It's pass it on for a lifetime, hopefully. Yeah. As long as I'm alive, I'll be doing this.
So. Like we're all going to be like still doing this. It's so funny when we go
we talked about like NSFW silver already. Like we have
the
like
silver.
Yeah, it's like
silver sneakers. When
we age out. Yeah, the silver club. It's like we have a special event. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I mean, there are places like for example, you know, hedonism. It's known for, you know, not having the youngest of crowds most of the year, and so mm-hmm. we go during hedonism swing breakers, which is like the week.
Yeah, it's, like, the younger crowd.
Yeah, and we're like, but. Fuck yeah, there's like older people who go the rest of the year. That will be us someday.
Yeah, we
like
will. Yeah.
You're not dead.
We have to plan for the future.
Yeah. So NSFW Silver, you heard it here first. I can't
wait. So I'm actually curious about one other thing too that I want to jump into, because you guys have been into like your own cryptocurrency and you facilitate your memberships through that. So I was wondering, like, what is your cryptocurrency? Why are you using this platform instead?
Well, I think what a lot of people don't understand is that when you do this type of work, you're identified within the adult category, which means you are the same as porn. You're the same as strip clubs, you're the same as like so many other things that are considered high risk companies. So companies that are associated with like human sex trafficking and possibly violence and abuse towards people, like because we fall in that category, our banking is not secure. Like our processing is not secure. We don't have, you know, we've gone through like all the platforms multiple times and rejoining and re-signing up. And, you know, as we consider things like scaling and actually having, you know, multiple houses around the country and possibly multiple locations around the world, like we have to ask ourselves, like, well, what happens if our bank doesn't like us anymore? Mm. So the currency itself is something that is going to continue to get built out over the next 7 years. We are hiring on someone who's like our crypto strategist for like the coin itself. It can be used right now for purchases. We have like utility for it so people can use it. There'll be more opportunities for members to get it. And then eventually we'll launch it as hopefully a stable coin that we can use as an alternative to banking, in the future.
Wow.
So I'm someone who does not understand cryptocurrency, and it actually, to be quite honest with you, like just intimidated me. And I was like, if I didn't have a partner who understands this kind of shit, like I would have just been like, I'm, I'm lost. Okay, maybe I'll just go to a different sex club. So what do you say to people like that? And that's no knock to NSFW, because obviously, you know, I fucking love you guys. Totally. But
No, I mean, I think like the process for buying it is just like buying anything else. So you can purchase it directly. And again, Lover itself and our currency isn't really getting fully implemented until we have more spaces and we have more of an opportunity to use it. It's more like a in case of like glass emergency type thing, you know, where we'd have to be like, okay, we have to implement this and use it fully. Like this has to be how we accept money or we can't grow. That won't happen for like another like 18 months, maybe 2 years before we have to like start kind of really trying to integrate that more. But even then, it'll still be easy purchases. Like it's not a complicated purchase. Now, once you have it, like you use it within our website, it's pretty much simple and that'll be easy. For the membership cards, like the actual NFTs you get, it's a website you go through, you click a link, it downloads and saves for you. And then if you want to transfer it into another wallet, you can, or you can just have it show up on your Apple like wallet, like your phone wallet. Mm-hmm. As simple as that. So we made it really, really simple for members to like onboard and not feel intimidated by it. We do have certain members who are like bigger within the crypto space and we've advised with them like as we are plotting this along. I think for us in particular, it's the first one that has very direct utility and we are doing pretty high volume in terms of like members and sales and stuff like that. So there's an option where like, you know, once we are hitting $10 million a year, if we're using that type of currency, like that's going to have a lot of value. So we're trying to like move in that direction and then move in a way where that will make sense in the future.
But I'm glad.
No rush to it.
Yeah. I'm glad that you explained that to me though, because it does give me a little bit more like patience with the process if I am intimidated by it, because it's like, okay, we're doing this for a reason. You know, it's not, you're not just trying to be complicated.
Right. Or like,
that was
trendy. You know what I mean? Like you have you make a very valid point about the banking and being shut down and not being supported. And that's a struggle that I wanted to ask you about, like with like, you know, being in the space of having a clubhouse, do you find it hard to get any kind of funding or money or like legal issues around running a business like this?
I mean, I think on the legal side, we have a really strong team and we have a group of like advisors within the community that are just our community advisors. Whenever there's something that goes on, we have people we can go to that handle different aspects of the law and things that we might have to be worried about. So on the legal side, we've been pretty like solid and clear and like their advice has definitely helped us along. What was the other side? The banking side?
Yeah, the banking, funding, like raising money.
Oh, funding. In terms of raising money, I don't know. I think like, I've been very holding off on a lot of fundraising. Like we've done very minimal fundraisers for specific houses. We normally do it through loans. So it's like we get a loan for a specific house and then we pay back that loan. We are doing a larger raise of about $500,000 right now, which will also be a loan. And that's to fund 4 additional houses. Mm. And there's some equity that's attached to that as like a bonus for, you know, providing the loan.
I just saw the email that came out. Yeah.
Because we don't want to do like a full like equity thing. And we also don't want to establish a valuation until we hit like $3 million in revenue, which we're trying to do in the next like 18 months to be on path for 2026.
Mm. Like, so these are all private,
2025.
Private loans through individuals
through members, honestly.
Yeah. Wow. That's
like
awesome.
Right before this call, like a member texted me. It was like, I just want to send you $5,000 just to like keep going. It's like, okay, thank you so much. Like massively appreciated.
Yeah.
Let's have a drink next time you're in town. And I would say like there's an aspect of that within the membership. Like we do technically have billionaire members and it's just kind of like, I don't know, I never asked them for money, but hopefully one day they're just like, hey, this is I'm comfortable enough to say that I've been there and I support this.
Well, I wanted to ask you if you're comfortable talking about it, about kind of what went down with the Brooklyn Clubhouse. Are you able to speak on that?
Yeah, I'm able to speak on it. I don't know. We the person who, you know, started that space or, you know, runs that space, Trillfit, is basically a member of the community. I met them, you know, a couple months ago. We started talking about moving the clubhouse into the space. They're fully kind of aware of what we're doing. You know, they had this master space. It was not being used at all. There was no real plan to like figure out what was going to kind of happen there. I saw it as like a good opportunity. But we moved in and we put a good amount of money into the space, probably about like $30,000 total into like build out and working on stuff and funding people to like start cleaning it up and setting it up, getting everything ready for it. You know, paid our first month, and within like a week or two of being there, we realized that the person who we rented it from hadn't paid the rent in a year and a half.
Whoa.
And was on the way to eviction, and
was
trying to like, you know, calm me down about it and be like, oh, I have a plan for it and all this other stuff. And yeah, it just became clear that this person was not being completely honest about a lot of brands coming in and a lot of people who were supposed to like be a part of this and help support this, help fund this. It just seemed like we were there to like fund this whole project, but you know, can't put any more funding in if we don't even know if we're going to be here.
Right.
And that situation is not handled, and I don't feel confident that you're going to figure it out.
Yeah, she's like, I have a plan for paying it back. It's like, yeah, I'm your plan, apparently.
Yeah,
exactly. It's like, it just became something where like we had to like stop all the events there. We had to like kind of put a pause on that. We didn't want to put any more money into the space without knowing what was going to happen. And it just became very contentious. It was just, and we're still like in a little bit of a battle back and forth because, you know, they're basically wanting us to pay additional rent, and it's like, we're not doing anything there. And like, I just want to move out. So it's a weird situation. And
do you have access to your stuff is my important question.
We had to do it with police. We had to go there with police to like show up and like be like, hey, like we need to access this stuff. Like they were not willing to give us, there's so many shady things that kind of came out of it. And you know, after I kind of just mentioned on my social, like we're ending the partnership with RealFit, and four people came forward. They're like, similar things happened to me. So she told me I was evicted 9 days before it happened. She was taking rent for a year and a half. She would never pay the rent. So it was just certain things where I was just like, okay, so I don't feel as bad because it wasn't just us or me. It was just weird that was happening with someone who's a member who was like so positive and so excited and so like changing my life and all these positive things. And then she'd be like in the situation where it's like, you can't steal my stuff. Like, what are you?
Yeah, there was a lot of dishonesty behind what her intent.
Yeah, what are you trying to do? And what are you trying to like, you know, you're not paying the rent. Like these things are not happening. So, I don't know. It was like a really disheartening because it is a beautiful space. We reached out to the building management as well to see, because if she's out of there soon, like might be an opportunity to take the space fully and just try to rebuild that. But I don't know. It just sucked. It was like really big. I was excited about having a big ass space for a little bit and like really like, okay, let's see what happens if we have, you know, 300 people party. Let's see what happens if we do something larger.
I was impressed with the DJ booth that was made out of a bed frame. That was fucking cool.
Sick, yeah.
That was a good one for sure. But actually, we just found a new space in Brooklyn. So I think I'm meeting with them on Saturday to discuss details for it. But it'd be like a 1 year like takeover of the space. And it's so much better. It's like full kitchen. We could use seating for 30, like 3,000 square feet, like beautiful looking space. So
yeah,
I'm excited about that.
That's right near House of Yes, Company XIV,
yes,
like right the
there.
Right
it's like
people.
Down the street, the right
yeah.
area.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's exactly. Awesome. So that's what I wanted to kind of summarize, because we talked about a lot of different locations and spaces. And so I want to just kind of settle on what's happening right now, what spaces are open right now, and then what can we expect in the future with NSFW?
So we have two pop-up events coming up, which will be like just something to do in the meantime. The new East Village space opens up March 16th. So we'll have a preview event that night, and then we go into regular programming after that. So there'll be like two events or three events per week after that. Then we have the Brooklyn space. But for Brooklyn, I think we would know by Saturday if we can start. And we might do like a little test thing in March just to like kind of show people the space and then get onto regular programming for that space into March. So I'd say by April, we should have two spaces running, 2 to 3 events per space, one in Brooklyn, kind of far in Brooklyn, and then one in, you know, Manhattan in the city. And then after that, there's two additional spaces that have been offered to us that we're going to consider and possibly do a conversion on. But it might not be as regularly hosted. It might just be an event space that members can go to and book for their play parties and stuff like that. Or if they want to do a dungeon scene and things like that, we might not have like regular programming there. And then we have this raise for $500,000. And then I want to do 4 additional spaces. We wanted to do Miami. We wanted to do LA. And then we wanted to do like 2 spaces up here that are closer, maybe like DC and Philadelphia.
DC. Philly. We know a lot of people. Oh, yeah. She's in Philly.
I'm in Philly. I would love an NSFW in Philly. Please. I will work there.
Quit your day job.
My girlfriend is actually in Philly as well. I had to go out there a little bit more.
Oh, all right. Cool. Ooh. So even more of a driver to bring it to our area here. Yeah. I love that. So and you maybe mentioned too the future of NFSW. You wanted to get into something you mentioned earlier was hospitality. What does that look like? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, when we launched this, it was really about destigmatizing sex clubs and really kind of changing, you know, people's perceptions of them. I think there is a hospitality play in what we do. There's so many hotels, so many locations, so many places that people go. It's such a big travel aspect for people. But you know, if you're looking at like a hotel group like Moxie, who was like one of my former clients when I was in the fashion world, you know, there is an opportunity for NSFW programming. There is an opportunity for NSFW nights. There is an opportunity for NSFW rooms. So we really want to play it up as like, you know, this is a lifestyle for people, and like all lifestyles, we should find ways to accept it and to present it. And I think NSFW could be the brand to like do that properly. And then again, giving all that access to the members, like so many more spaces that they can explore, see. They're in a new town. It's like, oh, I want to go see the, you know, I want to stay at the NSFW suite, or I want to go to the party that's happening there, or I want to attend something. So the idea to like have more doors, but not have to always invest in the doors ourselves. And the way that we want to do that is through the hospitality industry. So the next 2 years are very much kind of a shift. Like I think we're going from, you know, for the adventurous, and we're now aiming into like an elevated underground, you know, like really kind of showcasing that this lifestyle is more than just sex. It's really
a community,
a different way of approaching kind of this community aspect of like, you know.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely love what you guys are doing, and I fully support it.
We had a private party at my partner's house a month ago, and we were all kind of like reflecting at the end, like after play, and someone asked a question like, you know, what is it about this that makes it so special? And one of the guys was like, I feel like we kind of like unlocked this. Like I showed up at my first sex party and I looked around and I was like, holy shit. Like this is something I've only seen in movies, that like you feel like you're part of the top 1%, and you know, you've unlocked this secret level of life, you know, like where everyone's just like, you know, open with their bodies and their sexuality and like everything that everybody's thinking on the day to day, but we're actually doing it. And it's, you know, and you're creating those spaces for people. And another thing that I wanted to say is on the town hall, when you were kind of explaining to your members what's going on with this Brooklyn club, and I really appreciated that and your transparency, you know, someone said this really is a community, and it's not just the space. It's not just a sex club. It's about finding your people that you can be your full true self with. And, you know, that's why it's important to have spaces like these, because I've met, you know, lifelong soulmates in these spaces. Mm-hmm. So thank you for creating that.
Yeah. It's one thing to talk about, and you're actually manifesting it for people and helping facilitate. So thanks.
So to wrap all this up, I'd love to ask you, you know, what kind of growth have you seen?
I feel like I'm going
to
cry.
We got to cry, Aaron. Girls got to So, you know, what kind of changes have you noticed in yourself and in your relationships since you kind of embarked on this endeavor? Besides everything.
I don't know. I think it's definitely been a life-changing experience to kind of create this space. I think it's something that, if you look at like all the hurdles that we've had through, you know, the past 8 years and all the things that you have to like contend with when you're developing this type of community in such a very public way, in such a very like, you know, here's what we're doing, like do this, like more people do this, like really encouraging people to like, you know, do more of it. I don't know, you fall into this area of like a celebrity, and it's not the most comfortable thing. And like for me and my intention, like I've never pursued fame or celebrity as something other than to like provide marketing for whatever I'm doing and trying to like get people to like pay attention to the thing that I care about. But yeah, there's like a certain aspect to it of just having so many people paying attention to so much of what you do through like anything and any interactions. And you're always considering like your interactions with people and like, you know, really just being hyper aware of that was something that I had to like kind of remove from myself because it was preventing myself from being myself in a lot of ways and preventing myself from kind of, you know, being in spaces. And I think on my own like mental health journey through this, like I was in the fashion industry for a long time. I had the benefit of, you know, sitting front row and being flown out for shows and doing a lot of things within the industry. And I just found it to be so soulless. The connections with people didn't feel authentic. There was like a level of like just constantly posturing and having to put on face. And so when I kind of went into that industry, I didn't want that. I didn't want that aspect of it. And I didn't want that for myself. So coming into SFW kind of removed that inauthenticity. So it's like you're always being authentic, but with that authenticity comes a lot of judgment. You know, you never know the thing that you might say that might offend someone, might bother someone, or have opinion on something, or want to have an open discussion on something. Like we're dealing with sex, we're dealing with gender, we're dealing with things that are extremely like high level,
very vulnerable, you know, for a lot of people. Points.
Yeah, and it's like we, you know, people aren't, you know, as comfortable with, you know, people having an opinion on that. But it, you know, you have this experience of seeing, you know, over 10,000, 20,000 people having sex. Like I've seen how people interact in these environments, you know, I've done over 1,000 sex parties. Like there's a certain understanding of human behavior that comes with that. That's just, sometimes it rushes people the wrong way. So I think people paying attention to what I do is really frustrating, especially being a marketer, especially being really, really good at getting people to pay attention to things. But when they're paying attention to you specifically, it's like, I need the separation. It's like, I am not this and me is this and we are separate. And, you know, like I can have an opinion that maybe it's not an opinion of this and, you know, we can be okay with that without it being so intense sometimes.
Wow.
So that was something that I had to get used to. It's like, it was the aspect of fame I never wanted, you know, the whole, like, now everyone's paying attention to you. And it's a small industry. It's a small field in a lot of ways. It's growing, but it's like,
everybody knows everybody in this lifestyle.
Yeah.
You get around
everyone quick. Knows everybody. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of one of those things. So I don't know. I think that's an aspect of community, but when it sometimes it just feels too much, you know?
Yeah. And you're creating this space where we can all be our most authentic selves and get as vulnerable as we want. And you probably have had to, maybe in the beginning, you were able to be more open and vulnerable. And now you're finding yourself having to like monitor yourself a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, that just comes with it.
Yeah. It comes with it. Well, thank you so much for doing it for us. Yeah. it's been truly life-changing for me, my experiences at NSFW. And I cannot wait to see the next iterations of it. So where can we all find you? Where can everybody find the club and you?
I'm just Daniel Saint on all profiles, Daniel S-A-Y-N-T. And then NSFW, go to thensfw.club and you'll find the information there to join and be a part of it.
Okay. Is there anything that you're working on that we can help you with? Are you accepting fundraising right now? And if that was an option, where can we reach out to you?
That can be direct contact. I would give my phone number, but maybe not.
I don't know that I would do that. Yeah.
Just do danielsaint@gmail.com if you're interested in helping fund this. If you want to bring NSFW to your city, like, and you know a couple people who are interested in that, like, let's talk, especially if there's funding behind that, because that's how this is going to happen. It's going to be a bunch of people out there who really want this, and we'll bring it there.
Yeah, you got to crowdsource and hear what the people want and go that way, because that's easy.
Give them what they want.
That's easy marketing. Just listen to the people's requests.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. Very enlightening. And like V said, I'm super excited for the future. And I'm going to double cross my fingers and toes and maybe my nipples and everything else to get you into Philadelphia.
My labia.
Yeah, it's going to happen sooner than you think. We have to do some pop-ups up there first, but yeah, we're kind of ready to like start moving out.
Okay. We'll stay tuned. Yay! Well, thank you so much. We'll have you back on in the future. Once you open up some new locations, we can keep this ball rolling here.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. We have some new things and exciting things coming out. So what to expect is a new website for Girls Gone Deep. So stay tuned for that launch. And we're going to have a merch shop, which I'm so excited about.
Yes!
So our merch shop's going to have a range of things from clothing to bags to shirts to panties to you name it. We want to crowdsource from you all listening to our show. What stands out to you? What quotes do you remember us saying, or what made you laugh? And send them our way, because we want to make things that you guys want to wear and to keep.
Yeah. And also DM on Instagram, Girls Gone Deep Pod. We did a poll. We'll probably do one coming up again, but we've gotten some really great ideas. So we're just saying, you know, what would you want from us? We want to bring you what you're interested in. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Girls Gone Deep Pod. I'm going to say it again, guys, Girls Gone Deep Pod on Instagram, because coming up in April, we will be giving away, wait, what are we calling this? The Horrible Life Slut Stakes.
Yes, exactly.
So we will be giving away a pack of Horrible Life to one of our followers. So make sure you're following by April 1st. We're going to do it in conjunction with Beautiful Elle's giving birth to a new joy baby. So
yeah. Another reason you should all follow our podcast too is now that we have this merch shop, is we're going to be offering some limited edition items, some sales and discounts and special promos. So you don't want to be missing those things. So follow us so that you can get access, early access to any of that hot content that won't be around for so long.
Yeah. Also, as always, thank you to our sponsor, Horrible Life. Go to horriblelife.com and use code GONEDEEP to get 10% off your first deck. As you just heard in this episode, it's a great conversation starter, icebreaker, sexy and deep, all the things we're about here. And as always, use the link in our description to shop all your sexy gear at woomoreplay.com. They are a premium line of organic intimacy products. We love the freshy wipes, which come in individual packs. So you can just throw a couple in your purse and go to the sex club, sex party, whatever.
I have them literally in every luggage that I travel with. Backpacks, purses. I just find them randomly, kind of like I find condoms sometimes.
Yes. Oh my God.
So thank you for supporting us, and just go through that link to purchase what you already buy probably.
Everyone stay sexy, and we will see you next week.
Catch you later.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to that point, if you are comfortable talking about it, can you guys hear that hissing in the background?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay.
What is it?
It's my fucking radiator. Welcome to New York.